Well, it's good to be here. Nancy and I have visited here a number of times. I believe this is the first time Wendell has let me get up here and preach. I believe, if I remember right. But we finally wore him down. He let me come up here and preach. I think Nancy and I have known Debbie and Wendell for over 25 years. Stephanie, I think you were in about the fourth grade when we first met. Springfield, Missouri. We worked together there in the church, and Wendell taught me everything I know, so good and bad. Oh, but it's just a joy to be here with you today. Susan read the scripture, the first angel's message, and the Seventh-day Adventist. That's a very, very familiar text to us, isn't it? And there's a lot, we could spend days just unpacking those two verses about the first angel having the everlasting gospel to preach to whom? The whole world. It's a worldwide global movement that we're a part of, isn't it? And a couple of years ago, we had the privilege of sitting in a church in Wittenberg, Germany, a Seventh-day Adventist church, and worshiping with Seventh-day Adventists there. All around the world, Seventh-day Adventists, because it's a global movement. Everlasting gospel to preach. But there's an urgency about this because the gospel's been preached for 2,000 years. But there's an urgency in this message because something is going on that tells us there in verses 6 and 7. What's going on? It says, fear God and give glory to Him. Why? For the hour of His judgment will come someday. Oh, the hour of His judgment has come. It's already started. It's already here. So it gives an added urgency to the gospel going to the world because the judgment has come, and soon, when the judgment is over, what happens next? It doesn't say it in that verse, but what does the Bible say happens after the judgment? Come on, you're all kind of weak now. Okay, the second coming of Jesus. That's why we're Seventh-day Adventists, right? Because of the coming of Jesus. Fear God, give glory to Him, the hour of His judgment's here. And then it adds one more piece to the puzzle. It says, worship Him who what? Made heaven and earth. Worship the Creator, right? When did the judgment begin? Speak up now. I'm getting old. I can't hear well. 1844, the year 1844, the judgment began. Do you know that in that same year, 1844, a man by the name of Charles Darwin finished the first draft of his first book called The Origin of Species, which taught what? And the theory of evolution. In the same year that the judgment began, the devil knew that this call to worship the Creator was going to go out in the end time. And so his counterfeit went into play at the same time to try to counterfeit and oppose the worship of the Creator. And so we have a message. We're a movement with a message for this time. And that the purpose of the message is to prepare a people for the coming of the Lord. This first angel, along with the second and third angel's message, and we're going to be studying these night by night in the meeting, are to prepare a people for the coming of Jesus. So this is serious business, isn't it? This is not a game that we're playing. This is serious stuff. God has called us, and we have to be careful as Seventh-day Adventists. When God calls you as His messenger, it doesn't mean you're better than anybody else. It doesn't mean He loves you more than anybody else. It doesn't mean you're smarter than everybody else. It simply means, for some reason, God has chosen. In fact, when He chose Israel, He said, it wasn't because you were the biggest and the strongest that I chose you. Sometimes God would rather use the weak, right, than the small. So we have to be careful. It doesn't make us better than anybody else, but we do have a message. Just like John the Baptist had a message. Just like Elijah had a message for his day. God has given us a message for our time and for our day to get people ready for the coming of Jesus. Because there is going to be a moment, the last chapter of Revelation tells us, there is a moment that will come in which the opportunity of salvation will be gone forever. Think about that thought for a minute. That the point in time will come. We used to call it the close of probation. A time will come, just like when the door in the ark, the angel shut that door. It didn't matter how badly you wanted to get in the ark at that point. You might be willing to give all of your land and your money and everything to get in the ark, but guess what? You couldn't get in the ark. Because Noah and them couldn't open the door. The people on the outside couldn't open the door. And God didn't open the door. And so that was it. And that ought to give us a sense of urgency. That people are going to be lost for eternity. And God has called us to give them the warning message before it's too late. And that calling is for every single one of us as a believer in Jesus and as a Seventh-day Adventist. Every one of us shares in that burden. John chapter 1, actually. John the Baptist is preaching and baptizing there in the Jordan River. And in verse 29, it says that Jesus came to John. I'll give you time to find it. John chapter 1, verse 29. It says, the next day he, John, saw Jesus coming to him, and he made a profound statement. He said, behold, look, the Lamb of God who does what? Who takes away the sin of the world. Boy, isn't that a wonderful statement? Isn't that a wonderful truth? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Do you know that your sins have been taken away? My sins have been taken away. The people coming to the meetings, their sins have been taken away. They might not know it yet, but John says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What does sin do to people? It eventually, yes, the ultimate result is it destroys. But what does it do before it gets to that point? It separates us from God. What else does it do? Causes sickness, unhappiness, bitterness, anger. Pardon? Unbelief, hopelessness. People need to know that Jesus has taken their sins away. And every one of us have people in our lives. Maybe it might be our own family members. It might be our neighbors. It might be people we work with, people we go to school with, people we meet in Walmart. But everywhere there are people that we connect with, that we cross paths with. And if they don't already know it, they need to know that Jesus has taken away their sins. And for some reason, in his wisdom, God said, you know what? The way I want to get that message out is through my people. You know, he's got billions of angels. You know, Daniel describes heaven with thousands and ten thousands of angels. And those angels are a lot smarter than we are, aren't they? They're a lot more powerful than we are. One angel, you know, killed 185,000 of the enemy one time. But God in his wisdom said, no, I want my people to be the ones. Now, the angels help us and they assist us, but we are the primary ones to share this message. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There's this text in Romans. We won't go to it. Romans 10. It says, faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing comes by what? The Word of God. The Word of God. And these meetings are about preaching the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. The Bible says it's sharper than what? A two-edged sword. It cuts deep, even to the what? the core, the marrow, the core, what's inside our bones. That's about as deep as you can get, right? Inside the, where the inside the bones. And when we share the Word of, you know, preaching is a part of the sharing of the Word of God, but it doesn't have to just be preaching, does it? We can share the Word of God anytime, anywhere. The Bible says have a word in season and out of season, right? And you don't have to be, the good news is we don't have to be eloquent to be effective in sharing this. Have you ever heard of a man by the name of Charles Spurgeon? He was a very famous preacher over in England. Had a huge church, I think it was in London. Huge, huge, giant church, thousands and thousands of people. Wrote all kinds of books and very famous. Been many, I guess probably in the 19th century is when he lived. But he tells the story of his conversion. He was 17 years old. 17 years old. And he was in a little bitty country church out there in the countryside of England somewhere. And he had gone to church that day for some reason. You know, sometimes people go, they don't even know why they go. They just go because it's the Spirit of God. And he's sitting in the back of this little pew, or in the pew in this little church, and for some reason the preacher didn't come that day. And so the old deacon got up to do the sermon. And the deacon wasn't really highly polished and skillful, but he got up and he uses this text. I don't remember the verse now, but it's in Isaiah, and it says, "Call on the Lord, all ye ends of the earth, and you will be saved." That was the text for his sermon that day. "Call ye on the Lord, all the ends of the earth, and you will be saved." And he said the old preacher or the old deacon got up there, and he just started reading that text. And he just, you know, he'd mumble a few words, but he hadn't prepared much of anything. And so he just kind of mumbled, but he just keep repeating that text over and over. "Call on the Lord, all ye ends of the earth, and you will be saved." And after about 10 or 15 minutes of that, Spurgeon says, "Something began to happen in my heart." He said, a deep conviction of my sinfulness began to just overwhelm me. And he said, but then he said, as I kept hearing that text, "And call on me and you will be saved. Call on me and you will be saved." He just came to the point. He said, "Yes." He said, "Yes." And he went forward and he called on the Lord and he gave his heart to Jesus that day. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't try to do our best, but even when we can't, well, that was his best, the old deacon's best. It was his best. And we wouldn't think much of it, but you know what? God used it to win the heart of Charles Spurgeon. And through that man, thousands, probably tens of thousands, have came to the Lord through his ministry and through his work. So God wants to use all of us, not just the great and the wonderful and the you know, highly intelligent. He wants to use all of us and will use all of us to reach people for his kingdom. I'm just going to hit a little bit here. It goes on. It talks about the next day that two of John's disciples are standing with John, and Jesus comes, and again John says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And those two disciples went after Jesus, and they said, "We want to see where you're staying." And he said, "Well, come on." And they spent the rest of that day with Jesus. And then in verse 40, it says Andrew was one of those two disciples of John that followed Jesus and spent the day with Jesus. And it says Andrew had a brother. What was his name? Simon Peter. In verse 41, it says he found, there's an interesting word in here. He found what? He found first his own brother Simon. First, he went to his brother and he said, "We have found the Messiah," and he brought him to Jesus. There's a very important, I wish I had an hour to talk about this, but I don't. There's a very important principle in that verse. He went and he found his brother and he brought him to Jesus. The Gospel Commission says, what's the first word of the Gospel Commission? Go. Go. And what that means is, the opposite of that is, y'all come, right? We're going to sit here, y'all come, and when you come, then we're going to talk about Jesus. But the gospel commission is to go. Andrew went and found his brother and brought him to Jesus. Yes, the meeting started last night, but you know what? We can still bring some folk tonight that didn't come last night. Wendell, would that be all right? If we brought people that didn't come last night, but we brought them tonight? It's not too late. And I know some of you invited people last night, and some of them came and some of them didn't. But it's not too late to do it again. Or if we haven't invited anybody yet, we still have a chance to do it. And bring them to Jesus. I'm going to have to skip some of what I wanted to say here. I always have this problem. I always have more I want to say than I have time to say it. Let me tell you a story. I want to tell you a story and then read a couple things and then we'll close. How's that? A few years ago, we were pastoring, my wife and I. We had a church down in, anybody know where Thomaston, Georgia is? I know Wendell's been there. Yes. We have an Adventist church there in Thomaston, Georgia. And I was the pastor there. And we had a fella in the church. He worked at there's a hospital there in Thomaston, Upson Regional Medical Center, Upson County. And he worked there as, he wasn't a doctor, he wasn't a nurse, he was an orderly, you know. I guess in the pecking order of a hospital, an orderly is not considered, you know, real high and fancy, but they do an important work nonetheless. But he was an orderly there in the hospital. And if you were to look at this fella or talk to this fella or meet this fella, you probably wouldn't be really impressed. You know how we are as people. We kind of size each other up, you know, when we meet new people and we kind of evaluate each other. And most of us would look at him. We wouldn't be really impressed. He didn't look, you know, he wasn't real big and strong. His voice was kind of high-pitched and he just wouldn't strike you as a very impressive person. But he worked there at the hospital. And one day he came to me and he said, "Listen," he said, "I've been talking to one of the nurses there at the hospital, and she's decided she wants Bible studies." He said, would you mind giving her Bible studies?" And I said, "Well, sure, sure." So I gave her Bible studies. I don't know, it was 3 or 4 months, whatever it was. And she decided, and she was baptized and joined the church there in Thomaston. It wasn't about a month or two later, he come to me and he said, "I got another nurse over here that wants to be wants Bible studies. Would you mind giving her Bible study?" Well, sure, sure. So we did 3 or 4 months of Bible, and she was baptized. This happened four times. I think they were beginning to wonder over there at the hospital what happened. All their nurses were becoming Adventists. But it happened because of this one guy. Because I probably would have never met those nurses just in the normal run of things. I would have never met them. But he worked with them. He was with them, you know, on almost a daily basis. And I never did figure out what his trick was or what. Well, I know what it was. It was the Spirit of God. Because it wasn't because he was such a wonderful, charismatic person. Because he wasn't. But somehow he would talk to them and get to know them, and somehow a little seed would be planted in their mind and their heart, and the Holy Spirit would work that, and it would grow into a desire to know more about God's Word and to know more about Jesus. And from that, four of those nurses were baptized. And as far as I know, I think one of them moved away, and I think one may have died. But I think the other, as far as I know, the other two are still actively involved there in the church. And this has been years and years ago. So the point was, he did what God said. He went, go. Went to his colleagues in that case and brought them to Jesus. Now, before I close here, I'm going to read something. And this one may sting a little bit, okay? My mother used to have she passed away a few years ago, but my mother used to have a saying. She had several sayings, actually, but one saying that she had was, if the shoe fits, wear it. You ever heard that one? What does that mean? If it applies to you, then it applies to you, right? If it doesn't, then don't worry about it. But this is kind of some tough thing to listen to, but I'm going to read it anyway. This is out of a book called Desire of Ages. And she's actually talking here about Andrew going and getting his brother, and also about, we didn't read it, but Philip in that same chapter goes and finds Nathanael and brings him to Jesus as well. She says, these examples should teach us the importance of personal effort and making direct appeals to our kindred, friends, and neighbors. Now here's the hard part. Here's the part that might hurt. There are those who for a lifetime, have professed to be acquainted with Christ, yet who have never made a personal effort to bring even one soul to the Savior. Ooh, that hurts, doesn't it? There are those who for a lifetime have professed to be acquainted with Christ, yet have never made a personal effort to bring even one soul to the Savior. They leave all the work for the minister. He may be well qualified for his calling, but he cannot do that which God has left for the members of the church. Now it gets worse. I hope you all don't get mad at me. I'm just reading this. I didn't write this, okay? It says, many, what did I say? Many have gone down to ruin who might have been saved. Oh, that's a terrible thought, isn't it? Many have gone to ruin who might have been saved if their neighbors, common men and women, had put forth personal effort for them. Oh, that's terrible, isn't it? That's terrible. Let me read another one here. God could have reached his objective in saving sinners without our aid. He could have done it without us. But in order for us to develop a character like Christ, we must share in his work. If I'm going to have a Christ-like character, what this is saying, I didn't write it. We must work for lost sinners. I can have a perfect diet, I can keep the Sabbath faithfully, I can pay a faithful tithe. But she says, if I'm not doing this, I'll never have a Christ-like character. When it gets quiet, you know something's going on. Woo. Well, God's speaking to me as well as he is to anybody else. I just want to end with this. Pray about this. And again, if the shoe fits, wear it. If it doesn't apply to you, then it doesn't apply to you. But if it does, don't get mad. Don't get angry. But pray about it. And even this afternoon, pray about this. And say, well, Lord, if this is me, then I want something to change. I want things to be different. I don't know how to do it exactly, but you know what? If you will ask God to give you opportunities, I'm over time. Can I tell one more story? If you pray that God will give you opportunities to share Him. I was out about a month, I don't know, maybe 6 weeks ago now. I was out walking one Friday evening. I was out walking my dog, our dog, Daisy, walking down. We live in a cul-de-sac, and then you go down, there's another cul-de-sac, kind of parallel to each other. And we'd walk down, and we're on that other cul-de-sac. And I'd been praying, Lord, you know, give me opportunity, because we've only lived in our neighborhood for a few months. You know, give me opportunities to share you in our neighborhood. And coming down the hill was a man, oh, he's probably in his, I don't know, 40s or something. And a young teenage-looking boy, they come walking down the hill. And I had seen this man one other time. In fact, he and his son had come to our house. They were selling, it was for a school thing, they were selling little cards. You get Domino pizza, free pizza or something. And it was a fundraiser for school or something. That was the only time I'd ever met this guy. And so he's coming down the hill, and so, wave and say hello. And we stop and we start talking. And it isn't 30 seconds that we're talking. And you've probably had this experience before. This man just opened up the gates and just dumped the whole truckload. Have you ever had anybody do that? I mean, he just opened. And he spent about 40 minutes telling me about how his wife had left him. Just like 3 weeks before, his wife had left him. And he just, I mean, he was just telling me the whole story. I mean, you could tell he needed to get this, you know, he needed to get this off his chest and talk to somebody. And so I just, for 40 minutes, I just listened to him, you know. I mean, he just unburdened his heart. And finally, he kind of, you know, was easing off and winding down. And I said, Doug is his name. Doug is his name. I said, well, Doug, would it be all right if I just prayed with you right now about this? Oh, yes, please, please. So I just, right there in the middle of the street there, we just prayed and prayed for him and his wife and prayed, you know, that God would bring healing and reconciliation to their relationship. And we got done. Oh, he just thanked me so much. He gave me his business card. I don't know why he did, but he gave me his business card. And so about a week or two later, I thought, well, I'm just going to call him. And so I just called him. I said, Doug, I don't know if you remember me. I'm David. You know, I met you. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I said, I just want you to let you know I'm praying for you, that God wants to heal your marriage and reunite your family. And I just want to encourage you to hang in there and cling to God. And oh, he started again. You know, he started unloading. And it didn't go 40 minutes that time. But I'm just going to call him about every, I don't know, couple of weeks. And I don't know where it'll end up, where it'll go, but if we pray for it and then we start looking for opportunities, God's going to give them to us. He will. And so I want to close with that. I just want to challenge you. I want to challenge. And not just during these meetings. This ought to be our life, the way we live 365 days a year, that we are ambassadors for Christ. We are messengers with this three angels message. And I tell you what, no, you don't start with the mark of the beast with them. But if you start where they're hurting and where their needs are, and just sharing Jesus and the simple, you know, my God will supply all your needs, the simple promises of the Bible, I've loved you with an everlasting love, you know, we don't have to memorize the Bible. If we just have a few of those texts buried in our mind, the Holy Spirit, you know, will bring it to us at the right moment. And if we just have a boldness and a willingness to share Jesus, it doesn't have to be a sermon, doesn't have to be an intricate Bible study. If I had time, I'd tell you another next week I'll tell another story on that, how God can use His Word through us to reach people for Him. So let's be bold. What do you say? What do you say? Amen.